Elvis from the blog Stories of an Unschooling Family. Welcome to my podcast. This is episode 28, and today I'm doing an interview with my daughter Imogen. We're going to be talking about talents, dreams, careers, and the concept of unworking. Welcome to my podcast, Imogen.
Thank you for having me.
Perhaps you'd like to introduce yourself a little bit.
As Mum said, I'm Imogen. I'm 20. I'm in my third and final year of my bachelor's in writing and publishing. So I'm very passionate about my writing of all kinds, especially fiction. And I also love music very much. It's my other great passion.
So you're coming to the end of your university degree. When do you finish?
I finish end of November.
And so you've been thinking about the next stage, what you're going to be doing after you stop studying full time.
Yes, it's sort of the big thing to think about in this final year. Once I have the degree, where am I going to go with it?
And so what have you been thinking about?
I've been thinking about how I can follow my writing and hopefully my music into a career. I have put a lot of thought into it, into this type of job I would like to do, the type of environment I'd like to work in. And one of the big things I always wanted to do was to be able to work in what I love doing, writing and editing and music, and work for myself and find a way to be self-employed.
So we've been talking a lot about whether I should encourage you in some of these dreams you've been telling me about. Some of them sound quite exciting. Or should I really be encouraging you to get a steady job, maybe get a job with a publisher? Or people have been saying, are you going to be a journalist, haven't they?
Yes, that's the one I get most often when you say, I'm studying writing. Oh, are you going to be a journalist? As if there is no other kind of writing but journalism, which is a great kind of writing in its own way, but it's not what I'm interested in.
So you've got no ambitions to join a publishing house, maybe?
I have considered it, and I think it would be an exciting place to work, but I don't think it's the sort of place I would like to work in.
When you have expressed the desire to do freelance writing, that's what you've said to people, isn't it? I want to do freelance writing. What has the reaction been?
The reaction has mostly been, oh, so you're going to join the ranks of the unemployed. And I have to turn around and correct them very quickly. No, the self-employed. Because there is a big difference between being a freelance writer and being unemployed and being self-employed.
So people expect you to get a job with somebody else so that you have a secure job, that you know the when the income is coming in at the end of every week or every month, that you've got a secure job. Do you think that that's a good ambition to get a secure job?
I think that everybody wants a job where they can be sure that they're going to have money to live on, but I think that sticking to the jobs where you're working for someone else, someone is paying you a wage, and sticking to what people know as safe careers is not always the best path. You can have a safe job, but you might not enjoy it. And if you don't enjoy your job, which is a big part of your life, then what's the point of having it? Is it just for the money?
Now, I know that you have a lot of talents, Imogen, but how realistic are you? Do you think that you're going to finish your degree in November and go straight out there and make success of using those talents to earn money?
Not at all. The areas I want to work in, I know it's very difficult to get a start, and making a successful start is very, very difficult to do. It takes time, and I know it takes time and a lot of hard work. So when I finish my degree and I go and I start on my self-employed career in writing and editing and music, I know that it's going to take a while before I see any real progress, before I know that I'm making a success of it, make any real money, but it's what I want to do, and I'm willing to work hard because it's what I'm passionate about. So making a success right from the beginning isn't as important as making a good foundation for me.
So obviously not everybody who steps out there using their talents is an overnight success, are they?
No, the majority of people take many years to really get settled into what they're doing and make any sort of success of themselves.
So I guess it depends on how passionate you are about using your talents.
Exactly. If you're not passionate about it, then the amount of hard work it's going to take to make a success of what you want to do is going to be very daunting, and you're probably going to give up if you don't have enough passion.
What about money while you're pursuing your passion? Have you thought about that? What if you don't earn anything?
I have thought about that, and if I don't earn anything, then I'm quite prepared to go out and get some sort of job in the interim. So working at a checkout, being a waitress, whatever it takes, because I know what my dream job is. And I know that it's going to take a lot of hard work to get there and to make a success of it. And in the meantime, I'm prepared to go and work in a restaurant somewhere to tide me over until I can make money from what I really want to do.
Now, we all have our dreams, don't we?
We do.
And quite often, the other girls and you, we all sit down and we talk about the dreams we have, the ways we want to use our talents. And we think about that for a start. We've been given talents, haven't we?
We have.
And we all have different talents, even though in our family, the talents sort of overlap a bit, don't they? We have some in common. But those talents have been given to us. Do you think we're obliged to use them?
I would say yes.
Yes?
Yes.
They're part of who we are, aren't they? They're what makes us unique, and maybe it's part of our mission to use our talents.
Well, if God gave us these talents, he must want us to use them for something.
It seems to me rather a waste if we don't use them.
It is.
Yeah? Like sometimes as Sophie talks about her dreams with me, we have lots of long conversations when we're walking the dog. She likes to talk to me as we're walking along, and she has a different dream. Well, a different dream. She always has particular dreams, but sometimes her dreams get bigger and she has other ideas. She's very, very, what's the word, excited about what she could possibly do. And she's not really willing to wait till she's 18. Have you noticed that?
Yes, I have.
And sometimes we talk about what is possible. So I go through her step by step for her dreams. She wants to open up a blog design shop. That's one of her dreams, isn't it?
It is.
But you can't open up a blog design shop unless you have blog designs to sell. So we just walk along and we talk about all the steps involved in fulfilling a dream. And then she has some idea of what she has to do in order to make that dream become reality. And yes, she is working really hard on her photography, for example, and I'm sure that she is going to make something of that, but she knows she's not going to go out there and be a photographer tomorrow, does she?
Yes.
She has to keep on practicing. We've been talking about doing photography courses. We're looking at the step-by-step journey towards fulfilling a dream. And you think that's important, that you break down your dreams into steps?
Yes, I think it is. A dream can sound really good just when you look at it. You know, it sounds amazing to be a photographer and go out and photograph the world and see everything. But when you look at the step by step, it makes it more real and you really understand what it's going to take. And some dreams sound really good, but when you look at what it really entails, you're not sure that that's really what you want to do because, sure, it sounds like a great career. But the steps are not what you're interested in. It's not what you really want to do.
Or that maybe you're not passionate enough to wait to go through all those steps. You want it tomorrow if it's going to happen. And if it means that you're going to have to study for 2 or 3 years, you'll probably say, oh, well, I wasn't that interested in it after all.
Yes, but at the same time, when you go through it step by step, if you really are passionate about it, all of a sudden it seems more manageable. It seems more achievable. You have a goal and you know how you can get there. So working it out step by step really weeds out the people who are passionate and those who aren't.
So it's turning it's becoming realistic about your dream, looking at it realistically. How am I going to get there if I want to do this?
Yes, that's right.
So tell me more about your specific dreams. We've had some great conversations over coffee, haven't we, where your eyes have lit up and you've told me exactly what you would like to do. So tell me about it. Oh, and before we talk about that, let's talk about the problems of putting your dreams into words, because that's what you're about to do. You're about to tell the world, in theory, if anyone is listening, about your dreams. And sometimes we don't want to tell people what our dreams are. We want to keep them within us. Why do you think that is?
I think it's because people can be very negative about your dreams. A dream is a very precious thing. It's what you love. It's what you really want to do. It's something that excites you. But at the same time, someone telling you something bad about your dream can really put you off it. Like, they can be very discouraging. I've talked to a lot of people about my writing in the past, And, well, first they think that I should do journalism, but they go and they tell me, there is no money in writing. You should do this. You should do that. Basically, they're saying that what I'm dreaming of doing is a useless dream. You can't make a living off it. You should give up and do something else before you've even started. And that's very hard to deal with sometimes, because we do have these dreams. And when people put them down like that, you start to wonder, well, I have this great dream, but is it really achievable? Is it really sensible? Maybe I should just give up and do something nice and safe instead.
And sometimes it depends on the people who say it, isn't it? Some people that are outside the family, if they say these things, you can put it to one side and continue on because you have the support of other people around you. But what if your parents were like that? What if they were trying to push you into a more secure job? And I know that parents only do this out of concern for their children. They want to see that they have a secure future. So they might squash a few dreams because they think, well, this is a much safer pathway, and then I can be sure that my child is going to be all right financially in the future.
It's a lot harder, I think, when it comes from your parents. I mean, I've never had that problem with my parents, obviously, but I think if it comes from your parents or someone very close to you whose opinion you really value, if they start squashing your dreams, well, that's it. It's basically game over for your dreams, because if your parents don't support you and think that it's a good idea, then who is going to? I mean, they're the people who are supposed to guide you through life, and if they don't think that you can make success of this, well, why would you believe that you could?
Okay, then. So now we've established that we're going to encourage you in your dreams, aren't we? Dad and I are going to encourage you.
Yes, thankfully.
So we've had some great conversations. I said, well, come on, let's be brave and talk about your dreams.
Well, as I said, my dreams are all centered around writing and editing and music, and it's all about being self-employed. So I have three dreams, which are very lofty. One is that I would like to be a freelance editor, which is much more doable than you think with the internet. I would also like to be a writer and publish novels. And I would like to be a musician, but not a traditional musician, but a musician like on YouTube and selling music digitally. So almost a freelance musician, really.
So we had a good conversation a few months ago when you told me that you would like to make a music video, and we sat down and you told me step by step how you were going to do it, yes?
Yes.
So you thought about it very, very carefully. And what sort of steps did you come up with?
Well, to do a music video, you've got to do stuff like you've got to choose a song, you've got to learn the song, you've got to be able to record the music, which means you need the equipment for the music, you need to be able to edit the music. Then you need to be able to film a video, and you have to put it all together and upload it to YouTube. You've got to make sure that that you've got copyright permission or an uncopyrighted song to use for the video. So steps like that.
And what have you done so far to fulfill that dream? I know that at the moment you're really anxious to finish your degrees to give you some more spare time, aren't you? You're working really hard on so many different things, and you know you've got to finish off your last few university units. That is a priority. But at the same time, you're bubbling with excitement, wanting some free time, like the rest of us do at home, to pursue some of these dreams, yes?
Yes.
And you're having to hold yourself back a little. But in those little bits of time that you have, you have been doing a few things. So tell me about that. What about, first of all, equipment? Have you got the right equipment to do this?
I do now. It was one of the first things I had to get before I could even think about being a musician, was that I had to get the right equipment. So I needed a microphone and stands and all sort of recording equipment and audio editing software for the computer. So I have all that. Then the next step was to find a song, which I did, and I'm in the middle of recording the music for it. So I have the accompaniment, but no vocals yet. I'm still trying to find enough time to take a morning and record everything. And it's difficult fitting it all in between assignments sometimes.
So you accompaniment, you play the piano, and you're going to play the piano piece as one track. You're going to record the vocals as a second track, and you're going to put the two together?
Yes, that's right.
So we've had the piano out, haven't we? And you've been experimenting, moving the piano, which is really rather heavy, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
It's a good job it's on tiles because it slides a little easier. But you've been positioning your mic, having a bit of an experiment to see where the mic should go to pick up the best sound, yeah?
Yes, there's a lot of different things to learn while you're doing that.
And that all takes time, and you've been doing a lot of research on the internet about recording the piano? Because it's not that easy, is it?
No, it turns out the piano is one of the hardest instruments to record because it's so big.
But you have also found you could record off the electric piano, couldn't you?
Yes, it's another option that I've thankfully discovered, which also might be easier.
Because you can put the microphone directly into the piano and record it straight through without actually having any background noise. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. So you just get a pure piano sound instead of the background noise. And the piano quality is different, but at the same time, it could be worthwhile because it's so much easier.
And also you'll be obviously learning about how to edit your sound anyway.
Yes,
to enhance it, to change it a little, that type of thing.
Yes.
So, I mean, I find this is a really exciting dream because once you've got the music, you've also got to get out there and you've got to film it, haven't you? You've got to think about location. You've got to think about angles. Do you think you're going to be able to do that?
I think that it's going to be difficult for the first video or two because it'll be the first time I've ever done anything like this. But at the same time, it's a really exciting idea and I'm really looking forward to getting onto that part of it. And doesn't matter if it's difficult. That's really what I want to be doing at the moment.
So obviously you can't be behind the camera and in front of the camera at the same time. So how are you going to film yourself singing this song?
Well, I do so happen to have one so lovely sister who enjoys photography and who is willing to help me out by filming it.
I imagine we're going to be filming it a number of times because you have to put in different sort of shots.
Oh, yes, there'll be a lot of filming.
And I want to get one of those cameras that you shoot up in the air. You know, the helicopter ones?
Yes,
and film it from the top. So, I can't wait for you to get that stage. But we've also been talking about appearance, haven't we?
Yes, the appearance in a movie is very important because how professional you look is how professionally people are going to take you for being.
So you're not just going to go out there in your everyday clothes and start singing this song. Where are you actually going to film it?
Probably in the surrounding area, in the bush and down the park and places like that, depending on what song I'm doing at the moment. But the one I'm doing, I think it would be nice to do it down at the park, nice green location.
Because it's a folk song.
Exactly.
That's really, really beautiful down there. So if people have been reading my Facebook page, they might have noticed a photo of you maybe a week or so ago, was it? Fully made up. We went down to the pharmacy in town and we did some, what did we do? We were looking at makeup, weren't we?
We were doing makeup research.
Okay. That's the word, makeup research. And we stood in front of all the makeup and I'm afraid this is one of the skills I do not have is makeup. Though I used to use makeup as a teenager and young person, it seems to have deserted me all those skills. But anyway, we stood there and we were sort of hoping someone would come along and help us, didn't we?
Yes, and thankfully someone did. Very nice shop assistant offered to help us, offered to show us how it was done, and ended up giving me a full makeover, which was very kind of her.
And so we came home and I took photos of them for reference, and we came home with a box of makeup, didn't we? So you've got makeup now.
Yes, and I wouldn't normally wear makeup, but I think for a professional look, it's important.
We've also found you your own makeup artist, haven't we, for the video, which is Callum. He's my son. His fiance is very, very talented in the makeup area, isn't she?
Yes, it's very good to have her around to help out because I still have very little idea of what I'm doing.
So she's going to be the makeup artist, and we've got the video camera operator, and you're going to do all the music yourself and the editing of the video. So yes, you've broken it down. You've got an idea of how you're going to do it. And now it's just actually finding the time to actually do it, isn't it?
It is.
I think it's like anything else about making podcasts. You get in there and you start and you learn on the go. And the first one isn't too good, but you've learned from it and you just keep working at it, don't you? Learn more and more and you get there.
Yes, it's not actually important to know everything about how to do it when you begin. A lot of very successful people haven't known the first thing about filming or recording when they started, but they learned as they went and they managed to make a career out of it. So lack of knowledge shouldn't really hold you back.
Well, let's say, tell me some of the people that inspire you in this area. Who are you looking at and thinking, well, I'm looking at that person and I'm learning a lot and I would like to do that as well?
There are three main people, all from YouTube, who have really been inspiring me, especially recently. One is the dubstep violinist Lindsay Sterling, who basically started out with making her own brand of music and didn't really know what she was doing, but just kept trying and trying until she found something that worked. And then there's the a cappella musician Peter Hollins, who does amazing videos just with his own voice. And again, he started out pretty humbly, but he was already a trained musician, which helped. And then there's another musician called Taylor Davis, another violinist, who started out very simply and has worked up to making her own music videos. And they're all very successful. They all make a career out of their music. But if you look back, you can see where they've started, and it's sort of following how they've developed gives me an idea of how I can develop as well, and help teaching me the things that I can do.
So obviously they're very talented people, aren't they?
They are. They're very talented.
Now, so do you look at them sometimes and think, wow, I wish I had their talent?
Yes, I do actually.
So do you think you have the talent yourself to go out there and be successful?
I think I have to have the belief for that, for the dream. But at the same time, it feels very wrong to say, yes, I'm a talented person. I'm a good musician. I can do this. Because then it sounds like you're going out there and boasting, oh, I'm a brilliant musician. I can make a career out of this.
I understand that it's really hard to be objective about it, but we have to have confidence of our own abilities, don't we?
Yes. Well, if you don't believe in what you can do, then all the belief of other people isn't going to do it. It's got to start with you.
So what is your biggest talent, you think?
That's a difficult one. I think my biggest talent is probably my singing.
So your voice?
Yes.
So tell us about what you're doing to improve your voice.
I'm doing a lot of singing. I take lessons. I sing with choirs. I sing in the church. So I do a lot of music and I do a lot of singing, even without trying to make it a career, just for fun.
Are you contemporary or classical?
I'm a classical singer.
So you're getting some good training.
Yes, I have a lot of technical training behind me now.
I think talent's also very difficult for a mother to be objective about as well. I'm talking about talents in a mother's in her children. Yes?
Yes.
It's hard for me to look at you and, well, you get accused maybe, or you think of yourself as being a proud mother if you think that your child is talented. But being aside, if I'm not your mother, just say, and I'm just looking on, I would think that you are very talented, that you have what it takes to get there. You've got drive and you have a good voice. So what else are we going to talk about? Oh, what have you learnt from the example of your parents?
One of the big things I have learnt from the example of my parents is that you should follow your dreams, because they didn't get the chance to follow theirs. Dad wasn't really interested in business so much. Mum wasn't encouraged to be a writer. It wasn't until much later that they both got the chance to follow what they really wanted to be, so doing writing or doing teaching. And I can compare what their lives were like before they followed their dreams to what they're like afterwards. And just seeing, you know, how happy they are and how amazing it is to be able to follow your dreams. It just makes me want to follow mine and to do what I'm really passionate about.
I'd say following our dreams, our dad is totally different, isn't he, now too? He's been a teacher. This is his fifth year of teaching. He went back to uni after working in sales and marketing for 25 years, a job he did because he had a family to support, but it wasn't really what he enjoyed, did he?
No, he didn't.
And then he got the opportunity to go to uni and to do his master's of teaching. And this is his fifth year of teaching. And he is a totally different person. Yeah.
Oh, yes. He's finally found something to be passionate about, and you can tell it.
Which leads me on to a final thing I want to talk to you about, the concept of unworking. And this unworking word, it's been sort of passed around my blog and Facebook page a few times between us. And it sort of started me thinking, what is unworking? Someone just mentioned it in a comment and sort of got me thinking, and a few of us have done just a little bit of research, but these are ideas that have come from myself and from Imogen. We had to talk about unworking, didn't we?
We did.
So we don't know if this is what everybody else thinks of by the word unworking. I mean, there's enough different opinions about what unschooling is. What does unworking mean? Does it mean anything? Is there a definition that other people are using? But this is what unworking brings to our minds. We've been thinking about this. So we think it's unworking is when you work, you do something which you are passionate about and you earn money at the same time. So it doesn't feel like work. Do you think that?
Yes, I think so.
So a lot of people, well, I say a lot of people, it seems like a minority of people actually are able to do what they are passionate about as their job. And other people stand back and say, you are so lucky. When I say they're able to do it, maybe the other people who are a bit envious haven't actually tried.
Yes, yes, it's very possible.
So maybe the only a few people have had the passionate, well, what do you think?
I think that only a few people then would have really realised that it's possible. Not that the other people aren't passionate about what they do, but they don't realise that it's possible to do what you love and get paid for it.
Yes, but it does involve a lot of sacrifices at the same time. You've got to work hard, you've got to wait, you've got to keep at it.
Oh yes, I don't think there's any easy road to doing what you really love and following your dreams.
So with somebody who's unworking, I would be say that you want to unwork, don't you?
Yes, I do.
But you want to be self-employed. Do you think it's possible to unwork and still be within the system of employment, to be employed by somebody else?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I just have to look at Dad. He's a teacher, which is a conventional career. Everybody thinks of it as a safe job. But he is so passionate about it. He works weekends, he works evenings and holidays, not because he's got to get this stuff ready.
Well, sometimes he does have to, but he doesn't begrudge the time, does he?
And it's not just because he has to, but because he really loves what he's doing. He goes above and beyond what he has to do because he loves what he's doing, and he loves teaching the children, he loves getting his resources ready. He absolutely loves the job of teaching, but he's not self-employed.
So he's doing it for love, and he's not confining his work to the typical working hours. He doesn't come home, throw down his bag and say, I'm glad that day's over. Well, he does sometimes say that, I'm glad that day's over if it's been a hard one. But he doesn't, that's not the end of work for him.
Yes, that's right.
He doesn't move into the next phase of his life. You know, it compartmentalize his day. Yeah, so I guess that it's the same as school and unschooling, isn't it? Schooling seems to be thought of between certain hours of the day. You do your schoolwork and then you go and do what you like. And unschooling, we just do it all the time because we enjoy it, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, so what are some of the things that Dad does in the evenings?
In the evenings, he'll get his lessons ready, and he's got this great big project at the moment for making it fun in the classroom by making videos for his children, finding great music, making activities, making his own games, creating a lot of the resources he uses so that he doesn't have to use just worksheets but can make his work really interesting and engaging for the children.
And he's really working on his skills all the time, isn't he? Learning new ways to do things, learning new technologies. And we've been able to share that with him, haven't we? We're always in the evening saying, have you seen this? You could use that. I've just bought a copy of this. Would you like a copy? That type of thing, haven't we?
Yes.
So we're all unschooling together, even Dad. You think so?
Yes, I think so.
I think there's a lot of people don't realize they're unschooling, adults, because it's just following your passions and, yeah, continuing to learn, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, I've had another thought about working and unschooling, and what we've been talking about today about following your dreams. And it seems to me that if we're going to go to all the trouble to unschool, I say all the trouble, all the love, it's not really a trouble, is it? But if we unschool and then we lead our children into a safe and expected future using traditional ideas, what was the point of all those years of unschooling? What do you think of that?
Yes, it's a very interesting thought, because unschooling and then traditional values just don't seem compatible. You can understand going from traditional school to traditional job, safe education to safe job. But if you're going to be an unschooler, if you're going to embrace the unschooling idea, then surely if you can trust your child's education that far, can't you trust your child to take it further and take it into a career, even if that career isn't what society says is a safe career?
We have to continue trusting you. That's what you're saying, isn't it?
It is.
And that we have to trust that that unschooling has given you the tools and the vision also to be who you are meant to be.
Yes. Yes.
It's really no point in sort of, say, getting to the end of what we call our schooling years and just saying, well, it was all right for you to follow your passions up to this age of 18 or whatever, or the end of university, whatever. And now you have to conform to everybody else's ideas in society. It just doesn't seem right, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Right, that's it. You can't follow your passions anymore because you have to go and earn some money. You're in the real world now. It was all right as you were growing up as a child, but now, just get real and go and get a proper job. And to me, that sounds really sad.
It does, because if you can trust them that far, you just really need to give them the freedom and the trust to keep going.
I think that unschooling should give you, well, it should help you see the possibilities for the future. That's what you're doing now. You're looking out at all the possibilities and you're working out whether you can actually attain them. Yeah?
Yes, and I think that's one of the great things about unschooling is that it gives you the chance to look beyond what people think as safe and conventional and see what is possible, not just what is there for everybody, but the other things you can do, the other options, because a lot of people who haven't unschooled don't understand that you can make a career out of, say, being a musician on YouTube. That doesn't even occur to them. But if you unschool and you follow your passions, you get to discover these things and you can see how it's actually possible.
So that unschooling has given you this vision, but it's also made you different, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
And sometimes being different is difficult. Do you find it difficult?
I do sometimes. I go places, you talk to people, even just in a basic setting, and they don't understand what you're talking about. They don't understand when you try and explain the things you're interested in, because you're that strange unschooler person. You've got all these crazy radical ideas bubbling around inside your head, and it's totally different to what they're thinking about.
But we were talking about that the other day also. You've got these radical ideas bubbling around inside yourself. But because we get so excited about these ideas, it's worth being different.
It is.
Yep. It's exciting having all these ideas. And if we have to be different, well, we're just going to have to put up with it, aren't we?
Yes.
Anything else you want to say, Imogen? Because I'm going to trust that you're going to work hard towards your dreams. And sometimes dreams do change, don't they?
They do.
But I can see that you're passionate and I can see that you have talents and I think that you should use your talents that you have been given. I'm really very excited for you because I think that, yes, you're going to go out there and do some great things. I think what it comes down to is that we have to continue to trust and we have to trust that God has a plan for your life, doesn't he?
Yes.
He has given you a lot of talents and you're going to go out there and use them. And that's about all we have to talk about today. I would just like to thank you for talking to me about that. Do you think that was interesting?
I hope so. I found it interesting.
Yeah, I always find it very interesting talking to you. I think that's one of the good things about unschooling is that we do talk so much about what we're learning and where we want to go and how exciting it all is. Our conversations are very uplifting, aren't they?
They are.
And I'd just like to thank you for that. Just one more quick thing I haven't told you we were going to be talking about, but we might mention that we're thinking of doing a regular podcast together.
Yes, we are. I'm very excited about that.
These ideas keep bubbling up inside us, don't we? There's no end to them, is there? You think that you've had all the ideas you possibly could, and another one appears, and you think, well, could we possibly do this one? So what are the steps in this dream? Well, we've already got a podcast channel. We thought we'd just add extra podcasts in amongst my unschooling ones. Yeah?
Yes, we did.
So we'll see how we go with that. We've got all the equipment. We need something to talk about. We've got each other. So I think that we will give it a go, do you?
Yes.
What we really need now is a name. It's just, what are we? What are we? We're two adults continuing to unschool, mother and daughter. So we've got to think about a name for our podcast. And maybe we'll record an episode or two and see how we get on. Okay, so that's our latest adventure. My other latest adventure, of course, is that I've learned how to use Skype. Taken me a while, and that opens up a lot of possibilities for doing interviews. So I'm thinking of along those lines too, but I don't know of anybody that I could interview. So, but I've got the skills now, so I could do that if I really wanted to. And if Imogen leaves home, that's the other thing we're thinking about. I could Skype her and we can continue chatting online and making podcasts, so there's no problem there. I'd just like to invite you to go over to my blog, Stories of an Unschooling Family, if you'd like to look at the podcast notes. And Facebook, I have a Facebook page, Sue Elvis Writes, if you'd like to follow my community over there. You could subscribe to my podcast through iTunes or follow it through Podbean. And until next time,
trust, love,
See, it's fine. And until next time,
trust, respect, love unconditionally, and follow your dreams.
Thank you.